How I became friend with machines. One day I realized that I would not be able to fulfill a delivery contract, namely the contract we had with a well-known firm, HH, in Vienna. With this company, we closed contract on delivering summer canvas shoes with leather soles, which until then were not being produced in our lands. I overestimated my educational abilities. I thought that I would be able to teach the hand production of tack and turnover shoes much larger amount of workers than I actually managed within such short time period. My name was again in danger, this time in connection with the reliability and fulfillment of our delivery agreements. Only something extraordinary could help here. Machines? Between me and machines was a large gaping abyss. I used to read Tolstoy's books proclaiming return to simple and primitive life, and I became one of his worshippers. In my ears also ringed the words of my business neighbors, who talked about machines in the same way as Austrian general staff discussed enemy armies. I did not have time for philosophizing. The issue was timely fulfillment of accepted obligations, and any help was to be considered wherever it came from. Cutting of bottom parts was difficult, and I resolved to buy a bookbinding press and try to use it for punching out the sections. It did not work. It was necessary to redesign it as whole. This was a huge undertaking because of meager technical experience, inadequate knowledge, and isolation of our lands. It required more energy than building our new power station. But the success was considerable, and my animosity towards machines was seriously rent. The biggest problem was production of bottoms, and it still remained unresolved. I journeyed to Prague to see Mr. Vrana, shoemaker in Vinohrady and publisher of Obuvnické listy, asking for his advice in shoemaking, but now they were looking for manual shoemakers again, and the use of machines was on the decline. I came to Prague in light canvas shoes and luster clothes without a bag. Disregarding the discouraging reply of Mr. Vrana, I left directly for Frankfurt. Some company wrote us from Frankfurt about their shoemaking machines. I left their address at home, but the policeman in Frankfurt obviously knew about the shoemaking machinery more than all of us together, and he sent me to Minas AG. I was hardly able to gather sufficient courage and enter the representative palaces of the rich companies of Frankfurt in my poor clothes and with even poorer knowledge of German language. I was amazed. I was looking only for punching and sewing machines about which I did hear, and suddenly I became transported in the midst of an empire of incredible variety of machines. I saw machines designed for performing all shoemaking tasks, no matter how small. But alas, all these machines were steam-driven only, and I did not have a steam engine, nor could I dare to even think about acquiring one. Also, the prices of these machines were well beyond my means. I therefore bought only some hand tools, ingeniously constructed pliers, cutters, and a magnetic hammer. My head was on fire during the entire trip back home. I was not worried about fulfilling my obligations anymore. They suddenly became quite petty alongside these giants of steel, capable of performing 100 times or even 1,000 times more than all my obligations together. I was fully satisfied with discovering the sources of enormous power, even though unavailable to me at that time. My head was burning from confronting my views on human society. The view of life derived from the vantage point of my 20 years and from the books of Tolstoy, poems of Svatopluk Čech, his Blacksmith of Lesotin, and Songs of the Slave I knew by heart, and all our literature about Czech brethren. The view learned also from listening to people around me. I was a collectivist and even something like a communist, but a socialist I was for sure. The contemporary capitalist society I considered to be good only for bad people, like vampires and idlers. I dreamt about the simple life of Tolstoy. As soon as I pay off my, that is, my brother's debts, and manage to earn a bit more, then I'd buy a small farm, and I'd sow only enough to maintain myself and my family. Cities exist only to enslave farmers, and factories exist only to enslave workers. Merchants exist to live as parasites from the work of others. If I should need a spade or tool, they would be produced in a socialist factory, as described by Zola in his Work. But from the window of my train, I saw the Rhineland and its factories, and some of them were making shoes. One could see nice human dwellings and strong, healthy, and well-clothed people. The steamers on the Rhine were tugging multitude of large ships, and I was busy calculating how large were the inventories of human necessities stored within them. And all that for all those people here. I guessed already where all this wealth and affluence came from. There, from those giants of steel who on human command can produce anything necessary for human life. There on the Rhine, the ships were taking to the sea the surplus products of those people to be traded overseas for goods which they still lack. And these are stored in those ships over there, coming slowly down the Rhine in long lines. And in my feverish head there was being erected the smokestack prophesied by my father, and I stood in the midst of these giants of steel, ordering them to work, calling, "Work, work." Right away, there was the socialist in me. He chased away the image of factory owner and called me names of vampires and slaves. No, I will not become the hated capitalist. I will not, I kept reassuring myself, as soon as I have earned a little to buy a small farm. The socialist was driven out of me by my uncle Butter, Wilczek, and many workers whom I often visited and saw how that regular, even if small, income did improve their lives. These people often looked at me with fearful eyes whenever they heard some doubts about Butter's ability to survive, as if their lives and not mine were at risk. Is it permissible to abandon such people? What are they going to do in the meantime before that collectivism or some socialist order comes?